He became rather technical, spoke of the abnormal endocrine coordination which made men grow so slowly, postulated a germinal mutation to account for it. Could the effects of this germinal mutation be undone? Could the individual Epsilon embryo be made to revert, by a suitable technique, to the normality of dogs and cows? That was the problem, and it was all but solved. Pilkington, at Mombasa, had produced individuals who were sexually mature at 4 and full-grown at 6.5, a scientific triumph, but socially useless. 6-year-old men and women were too stupid to do even Epsilon work, and the process was an all-or-nothing one. Either you failed to modify at all, or else you modified the whole way. They were still trying to find the ideal compromise between adults of 20 and adults of 6, so far without success. Mr. Foster sighed and shook his head. Their wanderings through the crimson twilight had brought them to the neighbourhood of meter 170 on Rack 9. From this point onwards, Rack 9 was enclosed, and the bottles performed the remainder of their journey in a kind of tunnel, interrupted here and there by openings 2 or 3 meters wide. "Heat conditioning," said Mr. Foster. Hot tunnels alternated with cool tunnels. Coolness was wedded to discomfort in the form of hard X-rays. By the time they were decanted, the embryos had a horror of cold. They were predestined to emigrate to the tropics, to be miners and acetate silk spinners and steel workers. Later on, their minds would be made to endorse the judgment of their bodies. "We condition them to thrive on heat," concluded Mr. Foster. "Our colleagues upstairs will teach them to love it." "And that," put in the director sententiously, "that is the secret of happiness and virtue, liking what you've got to do. All conditioning aims at that, making people like their unescapable social destiny." In a gap between two tunnels, a nurse was delicately probing with a long, fine syringe into the gelatinous contents of a passing bottle. The students and their guide stood watching her for a few moments in silence. "Well, Lenina," said Mr. Foster, when at last she withdrew the syringe and straightened herself up. The girl turned with a start. One could see that, for all the lupus and the purple eyes, she was uncommonly pretty. "Henry!" Her smile flashed readily at him, a row of coral teeth. "Charming, charming," murmured the director, and giving her 2 or 3 little pats, received in exchange a rather deferential smile for himself. "What are you giving them?" asked Mr. Foster, making his tone very professional. "Oh, the usual typhoid and sleeping sickness." "Tropical workers start being inoculated at meter 150, Mr. Foster explained to the students. "The embryos still have gills. We immunize the fish against the future man's diseases." Then, turning back to Lenina, 10 to 5 on the roof this afternoon," he said, "as usual." "Charming," said the director once more, and with a final pat, moved away after the others.